Harris, Carol Daniel, Kevin Wheeler. Your afternoon never sounded so good.
That's good.
News Talk 1120, KMOX.
What hit us?
Small asteroid fragments. This morning. How big were those?
Those were nothing. The size of basketballs and Volkswagens.
This new one you're tracking, how big?
It's the size of Texas, Mr. President. It's what we call a global killer. The end of mankind.
Half the world being incinerated by the heat blast. And the rest will freeze to death in nuclear winter.
Basically the worst parts of the Bible.
Hitting the rock from the outside will do the job.
So, we nuke this thing from the inside?
How?
We drill. We bring in the world's best deep core driller.
Billy Bob Thornton and the rest of the cast of Armageddon from several years ago. A story about an asteroid hurtling towards Earth, and we got to stop it before it gets here. In that movie, they sent Bruce Willis and Steve Buscemi and a bunch of people up to go blow it up because they only noticed it 3 weeks beforehand. We're a little bit more fortunate because one of the asteroids that's hurtling towards us, sure to destroy all humanity, isn't going to be here until April 13th, 2036. But our scientists and our astronauts and our astronomers are already on the case. And one of those people is Dr. Ed Liu, who has logged more than 200 days in space, about 6 months of that, on board the International Space Station back in 2003. But more importantly, I got to meet Ed a little over a year ago at the amazing meeting with James Randi in Las Vegas. Hi, Ed. How are you?
How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing great. Welcome to the show. So are we sending Bruce Willis up to get this thing?
No. hopefully not, at least. Plus, he'll probably be too old by then. Actually, we don't even think it's really going to hit. So, you know, it's not something where...
Wait a second. It's not going to hit. I could take us off DEFCON 1?
Yeah, it's probably a good idea. I'd say you pretty much got to pay your taxes this year and stuff.
But, okay.
To our best of our knowledge right now, meaning the best our tracking can tell us at the moment, is it only has like a 1 in 45,000 chance of hitting the Earth on that date.
Is that a small number?
That's a pretty small number, yeah.
Because it seems like a big number, 1 in 45,000.
Well, I mean, I guess there's two ways of looking at it. And that the overwhelmingly unlikely case would be that it hits us. You know, it's far more likely to miss us.
Right.
But if it does hit us, it could be pretty bad. It's good sized. It's about 250 meters across. It's about the size of, you know, a football stadium or something like that, say the Rose Bowl. And if it was to hit, it would be pretty darn bad. But again, we don't think it is going to hit. So
how many of these things of approximately that size do we worry about on an ongoing basis?
Well, we know there's a lot more out there than we actually have observed so far, and that's just because we don't have the telescopes to do it yet. We catch them occasionally, but we don't have the dedicated telescopes to do that. There are literally thousands of these things out there whose orbits actually cross the Earth's orbit. That means that it's sort of a matter of timing. If the Earth and it are at the intersection point of their orbits at the same time, then there's going to be a collision. But, you know, these collisions are sort of rare. By rare, meaning once every, you know, maybe 10,000 or 20,000 years or something like that. So, for this particular size. Now, the smaller you go, the more frequent those collisions are. But even still, the ones that, like the last one that hit the Earth that was a major size was in 1908. It was in Tunguska, which is in the middle of Siberia, and it was about a 60-meter asteroid, so, you know, about the size of a small building. But even that's enough to, you know, level about 2,000 square kilometers of what at the time was empty forest. So that was about the power of a 10-megaton bomb.
Wow.
Which is, you know, pretty good size. So you don't want to have one of those things land over a city.
No. And one of the kind that we're talking about here, this one that you're talking about called Apophis, is that how it's pronounced?
Yes, exactly.
What kind of damage would that do if it were to hit a populated area?
Well, the energy would be something like 600 or 700 megatons, which is absolutely enormous. So if it hit in the ocean, it's likely to put up a pretty good-sized tsunami. If it lands over you know, a city or something like that, there's absolutely nothing left of that city and quite a bit of the surrounding area, too, meaning, you know, maybe a small state or something like that.
Mm.
But, the odds are low, but, you know, somebody needs to think about these things that are really rare but really bad. You know, I guess we kind of learned that lesson when we, you know, say in New Orleans where they, you know, hey, people knew that, you know, that big hurricanes don't hit New Orleans every year, but they kind of procrastinate.
Right.
And
so we need to be prepared. We can't just do something 3 weeks out like in that movie. We need to start thinking about this for the future because we're kind of playing the probability Russian roulette here, aren't we?
That's exactly it. I mean, the earlier out you can find them, the greater the chance you have of doing something about it. And that's just because if something's really far away or many orbits around the sun from hitting you, it only takes a tiny, tiny change in its velocity, you know, if you do it decades ahead of time, to prevent a collision.
It's News Talk 1120 KMOX. I'm Paul Harris talking with Dr. Ed Liu, who's a NASA astronaut, spent time up in space in 97 and 2000 and 2003, and now is working on a program that the UN would be involved in, which would kind of fight off any asteroids that might come within the Earth's orbit and maybe...
Actually, that's not quite correct.
Oh, okay. Correct me then.
That's some other folks who have actually been calling for this. And what they've actually been calling for isn't for the UN to actually do anything, because as we all know, the UN does nothing particularly fast.
You could have stopped after nothing in that sentence, yeah. As far as I'm concerned.
And what other people are, again, this isn't me, but I'm just going to tell you what these folks are asking for,
yep,
is that there be some agreement between countries before you ever have to deal with the problem, before you ever find one that you think actually has a pretty good chance of hitting us, as to who's involved, you know, who needs to talk to who, what are the options, and so on, so that when the real day arrives, you don't spend the first year of your time squabbling over, you know, where are we going to meet, who's in charge of this, and et cetera, et cetera.
Which contractor is going to get the corrupt dollars towards them, yeah.
Whatever those questions happen to be. But, you know, in the end, the UN wouldn't actually be doing anything. It would be, this is really, these are agreements between countries, but the logical place for agreements between countries is the UN.
Right, okay, but let's get back to the science of this, which is what you're working on. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned a moment ago that all we need to do is deflect them just a little bit from their path that might be on an intercept trajectory towards Earth. How do you deflect an asteroid?
Well, there's a lot of ideas out there for doing that. One of the sort of obvious ones is that you just run a spacecraft into it at a fairly high speed. You know, by high speed meaning sort of like 10 kilometers per second or so. And that's likely to work. But it has the danger in that it's a little hard to predict exactly if you're going to create any big chunks off this thing. Are you going to break this thing apart or not? Maybe not. And it's kind of hard to say. And the problem is that if you break chunks off, you can still get hit by those things.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really know where they're going.
Right.
And even, you know, by small chunks off of something like this, let's say it's, again, 40 or 50 or 60 meters across as a chunk that breaks off, you know, that's the size of that one that caused a 10-megaton blast in Siberia.
Right. We don't want that landing on the Gateway Arch.
Exactly. And so, and you're not really in control of where they go. If you know, this is sort of like setting off an explosive on it. It's kind of the same amounts of energy we're talking about. So we think that you need to be real careful if you're going to go do that. One of the other methods that we had suggested, should you ever need it, is to simply hover a small spacecraft nearby. And by small meaning sort of a one-ton spacecraft, which is typical of the kinds of things that we fly already. And when I say hovering near it, I mean like 50 meters from it, from the surface. And there's actually a small gravitational pull between the two. And as long as the spacecraft is actually running its engines and its engines aren't pointed straight down at the asteroid, you'll actually tow it very, 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 very slightly. But that's all it takes. Turns out that, you know, if you wanted to go stand on the dock, you could push an aircraft carrier off that dock by pushing on it with your finger. You just have to push on it for a couple of years. You know, and it's basically the same idea here. We're talking about very tiny amounts of force where the thing is just hovering in place for like a year.
So we would have to get some sort of spacecraft the size of your average car,
mm-hmm,
up, and it would have to be next to this asteroid and stay next to that asteroid as the asteroid continued to hurtle through space.
Exactly. And but we can do that sort of thing. We have already sent probes to asteroids. We have sent many probes to, you know, Venus and Mars and Jupiter and so on. So that's the kind of thing that we know how to do.
Okay, so once you do that, then you kind of watch it and see how much it's deflecting, and you know the science has to be right to make sure it's not going to be there.
Exactly. You kind of have a real-time monitoring of it because you've got a spacecraft right next to it now with, you know, it's got a radio transmitter on it, And so you've basically got a beacon. And, in fact, you can then very, very accurately determine exactly where it's going.
Okay, so why don't we do that? Let's do that plan. I vote for all humanity. Let's do that, Ed. That sounds, you know, if you scientists can figure that one out, go ahead and do that. How much is that going to cost?
Oh, that's tough to say. And it probably depends upon the exact size of the asteroid that you're having to, you know, you're having to deflect and so on. But it's not big by spacecraft standards. And generally, spacecraft, the bigger they are, the more they cost in general.
Yep.
I hesitate to put a price on this because... we haven't done that kind of detailed analysis because we don't have an asteroid in particular that we need to deflect at the moment.
It's more than I have on me, though.
Yeah. Let's put it this way. The typical small spacecraft in that size range are sort of $300 to $500 million. You know, like the types we would fly to Mars, for instance.
Just a little more than I have on me.
Yeah.
Will you take a check?
Well, I won't, but perhaps NASA would.
I'll bring two forms of ID.
There you go.
All right, so if that's going to happen, and like I said before, we're playing the probability of Russian roulette here. Eventually, we're going to have to deal with something like this. May not be you and I, but it could be our kids or their grandkids. I mean, the Earth has been here for a long time, and we did have that one little problem with the dinosaurs supposedly being, you know, set off to the extinction route because of something that hit us that was huge enough to do that, right?
Because of that, you know, the small little furry creatures like rats and eventually humans are here.
Right, exactly. But frankly, as one of those humans, I don't want to have to go through that anytime soon. So we're kind of playing that probability Russian roulette. So is there a consensus that we need to start working on this? And is there an international consensus on that?
Well, there is a lot of people who say that we should, but there isn't necessarily a whole lot of funding to do that. But the very first thing that you absolutely have to do, number one is look for them, because if you don't know they're coming, then there's absolutely nothing you can do about it.
So we need to improve our tracking.
Yeah, number one, and there is already a NASA effort to track those larger than 1 kilometer, and but 1 kilometer is kind of the agreed upon limit that roughly would end civilization. Send us sort of like Mad Max, if you remember that movie.
Yeah,
that type of thing. And
we know what happens when Mel Gibson gets crazy. We don't need that.
No.
Exactly. But we thus far have cataloged about 80% of those out there. We roughly know how many there are by the rate at which you count these things. And we're starting to count less and less because we're less and less new ones, because when you find one, you go, oh, we've already seen it before. You know, at some point, the level that you pick up begins to drop. We've reached that point. So we know that we're almost done with that survey, and we have found the vast majority, by vast meaning like 80%, of those that could end civilization.
Well, listen,
that doesn't mean we haven't found, you know, even a small percentage of those that might only knock out a country or so.
Well, listen, one of my colleagues here has Bruce Willis's phone number, so if you find one that's bigger than a kilometer, you give me a call, let me know, and we'll get him working on this
thing.
Can
we just give him crank phone calls
instead? I'm pretty sure we can. I appreciate your time today, Ed. Thanks for explaining all of this in layman's terms, and you're welcome that I didn't ask you any Lisa Nowak questions.
Thank you very much.
I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
Dr. Ed Liu, NASA astronaut, explaining to us what can be done about asteroids. By the way, when I say that there's one headed our way in the year 2036, as he says, it's a 45,000-to-1 chance that will strike Earth. But in astronomical terms, those are kind of small numbers. And so we do need to keep an eye on that. And anything pro-science works on this show. Dr. Ed Liu on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.